This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio.
And online at SBNationLive.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston, here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Okay, it is hour number two, SB Nation Radio, the next generation of sports radio and the Big E Sports Show. Thank you so much for joining us each and every Friday night. And we love to connect with all of our listeners. A number of different ways that you can do that because we've got so many different platforms. PodcastArena.com, where you can go and listen to each and every one of our interviews. Perhaps you missed hour one. You can email the show at info@eradiosports.com and our Twitter feed at eradiosports. Our guy that we're going to bring back into the program, Shay Raftus, SB Nation Radio producer. And you can give him a follow at Twitter at Shay Raftus, R-A-F-T-U-S. And he is a Midwest guy. He loves his Ohio State Buckeyes. But we're not going to focus on the Buckeyes. We're going to continue the conversation talking about your Browns. And, of course, they're facing the Bills right now. That game is underway. Are you really optimistic about their season? I mean, how many games will the Browns win this year?
I can't give an exact number. I know
it'll pressure.
I know it'll be more than the one game total that they've won over the past two seasons. So not really a high bar there. But I think they're clearly improved. Look, they had to build their team back up. They went through a complete rebuild. And they really, with the new GM, John Dorsey, who has had great success in Kansas City, great at evaluating talent, really, I really have faith that the Browns could finally turn around. I mean, it's not going to be an overnight process. I mean, it's not like they're going to go in and win a bunch of playoff games or anything. But I do think there will be an improvement, and they could win six or seven games, potentially.
Of course, last week it was the Giants, and tonight the game underway with the Bills. What kind of progression have you seen that the Browns have made in the preseason? Do you like what you've seen, Shay?
Yes, I like what they've seen. Okay. It's just I trust the quarterback play more, whether it's Tyrod Taylor, Baker Mayfield. Both those guys are miles ahead of any quarterback they've had in quite some time. You've got the edge pass rushers with Garrett and Ogba. And, again, the receivers. Jarvis Landry is the big free agent signing they had. He's been really, really good, and has been a leader in that receiver room. And if Josh Gordon and Antonio Callaway, big if they can stay out of trouble, that's a really, really good receiver combo to have as well.
Oh, outstanding. Of course, Shay Raft has been with us, SB Nation Radio. We are ready for hour number two. Got some great guests coming your way. College football talk, Frank Pomarico, Notre Dame legend. We will be right back.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston, here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Hey, welcome back. Hour number two, SB Nation Radio and the Big E Sports Show. I am Alyssa Walker-Campbell. Always connect with us at Twitter at eRadioSports, podcastarena.com. If you have perhaps missed hour one or one of our interviews. But before we get underway with our next interview, think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. They are close, convenient, and known for their guaranteed everyday low price. Stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store today. O'Reilly's, better parts, better prices every day. Looking so forward to our next segment because, of course, fantasy football, it is fun, it is highly addictive, and it is very competitive, and we are ready to get you ready for your fantasy season. We have a great guest coming up. That is Pat Mayo. He is promoting the brand new NFL DraftKings Daily Fantasy Games, and it's his first time on the show. Good evening, Pat.
Thank you for having me. Excited to talk about DraftKings.
Absolutely. Well, I want to get educated on this. So first and foremost, take us through what are the new games DraftKings are offering for all of us NFL fans?
Well, there are two new NFL games that are going to be available for people to play on DraftKings this upcoming NFL season. On top of the classic format where you pick your team and play a salary cap format, the shirt structure where you have a list of names and you just pick one from each tier and move on, and the actual showdown contest, which are salary cap, but single game only, the new ones that we have in place, one is super exciting. It's called Flash Draft. So,
yeah.
So if people don't want to play the entire set of games, or they don't even want to watch all of a game, or they're at a game and want to play that live, it's separate contests for the second quarter, the second half, the third quarter, and the fourth quarter. So you would get a notification on your phone through DraftKings, and then you go in and you'll see how much time you have left to draft. You have 50 seconds per pick to make in these games. It's a single game only. So in week one, if you have like Baltimore against Buffalo, you can play the second quarter of that game only, players only from that game. You have 5 picks to make. You have 15 seconds to make each pick. You're given a list of 3 names. You pick one, make your team a 5, and throw. You're in the contest for the second quarter. So that's number one. That's a flash draft. There is a, the second one is a free pick'em contest where you get the entire slate of games for the week, and you just pick up a straight-up winner. So for week one, free to enter, and there will be $1 million worth of prizes on DraftKings that you can win.
Hey, NFL DraftKings, Pat Mayo with us tonight at SB Nation Radio. You can give Pat a follow at Twitter. And what is your Twitter handle?
Mine is ThePME, the same as you can download my show or watch my show, The Pat Mayo Experience, daily. It comes out, golf, football, MMA, everything sports coverage.
Okay, so break this down for me. For all the rookies out there, I mean, what is the difference, or perhaps I should say, the benefit of daily fantasy as opposed to what, you know, the standard fantasy football leagues that, are so many of my friends are a part of?
Well, the big one is, I mean, I play a ton of season-long leagues myself, but the, you know, the big thing is, like, if I, when I drafted Odell Beckham last year, and he goes down in week two, my season's effectively over because I've lost my best player.
Right.
So you get a fresh start every single week. So you don't have to worry about the guys that are injured, but don't take them. Take the guys that are healthy and playing in the game. And a lot of people are okay. They want to target a specific game. They can go in on that. They have their favorite player. They can play that guy every week, and no one can really steal him from you. You can use him along with everybody else, but the main contests are salary cap structure. So if you're willing to pay the price for him, you can get him.
Hey, we're glad you're with us. SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. That's right. We're talking NFL Fantasy League, NFL DraftKings. Pat Mayo is with us. And so we want to get the skinny, Pat. Kind of help us out. Who are the players to pick, or some of the players perhaps that we should avoid? Give us some insight here. Help us out.
Well, if you're looking at week one only, I mean, on the DraftKings slate, that's the most important thing right now. In the DraftKings system, I mean, the pricing came out a bit before, so you're looking for cheap running backs to pile in with some of your high-end guys. I'm looking at someone like Rex Burkhead, $4,300 on the week one slate, only because the pricing came out, Sony Michel was still healthy, and at this point, it looks like Rex Burkhead is going to be taking over a lot of duties in the Philly backfield, far more than we had projected for when Sony Michel was going to be around, plus as ever. So valuable goal line touches. For season long, though, if you're going into your draft, Doug Baldwin is a really interesting name. If he's banged up in the preseason, he's going to be ready for week one. And when you think about the Seattle offense, the defense has gotten awful, so they're going to have to throw a lot more than people are usually expecting Seattle to do. They'll be playing in more catch-up situations than they have at any time of the past 5 years. So Doug Baldwin, he returns to health, and he is problematic. There's someone even at the beginning of the fourth round who could potentially lead the league in receiving, and you just don't find those guys going in that spot.
So how does a daily fantasy strategy, because that's what we're talking about, Pat Mayo with us from DraftKings, how does that compare in terms of a strategy of a full season with fantasy players? Does it change it up?
Yeah, most definitely. Instead of trying to project out who's going to be the best over the course of 16 games, you're just looking at 1 week. The matchups are so, so important. And in the context of daily fantasy, where every player is assigned a price, you're looking for the most value on your dollar as you go through. So just because Ezekiel Elliott might be one of the most expensive running backs and probably the best running back, is his extra 5 points really worth paying up to his price tag when you can find someone who's a third of the price who's going to score within those 5 points? No. So you need to be able to mine the proper value, evaluate the games, which are going to be high scoring, which are going to be more beneficial to running backs and or receivers in certain situations, and really identify those players, target them.
Hey, Pat Mayo with us. Just a few more minutes at SB Nation Radio. We extended this invitation to Pat because, of course, he is with DraftKings, but we're talking about the NFL fantasy games that are being offered. And perhaps someone is tuning in tonight for the first time. They're listening to you. What are some tips that you give in terms of, you know, being a part of fantasy football and how to upgrade your roster, well, right?
The biggest thing is just for any fantasy league, whether you're playing season long, whether you're playing daily, you have to understand both what are the rules of the league and how does the scoring work. That is so impactful on everything. And some people just straight up overlook it. It's kind of crazy. So in certain situations, like on DraftKings where you get points per reception, guys that can pile up 7-8 catches in the game are entirely more valuable than some season-long leagues where, you know, points per reception don't count. It's yardage-based only. So just simply understanding those differences right off the hop is significant advantage. And the next big thing is besides, you know, projecting and trying to find all the right matchups, just paying close attention to that Sunday morning injury report, because there's going to be 3 or 4 guys every single week who are questionable that end up out of the games when the inactives come out, and, you know, you need to get them out of your lineups or be able to exploit the person taking their place, because generally speaking, they come in at a much lower price tag, and you're going to want to have them in your lineup.
I was going to say, Pat, are you analyzing stats and all the latest trends all the time?
Oh, always. Everything down to the weather, to potential cornerback matchups up against receivers, offensive lines in terms of run blocking versus pass blocking versus a specific type of scheme on the other side of the ball. All of those angles are always being covered, give you that next little bit of edge that can help separate you from the pack.
Okay, wait. Pat Mayo has been with us tonight, SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. DraftKings, check him out. Give him a follow, as he said, at Twitter, at the PME. And where else do we need to direct the listeners tonight to learn more about DraftKings and the NFL Fantasy League?
Well, I mean, go download both the DK Live and the DraftKings app, dkplaybook.com and DraftKings.com. And if you're looking for me, you find me on iTunes, podcast-wise, at the Pat Mayo Experience, or just go to YouTube DraftKings page, video show, every single day, covering every single sport, give you all the information you need.
Fantasy football, so much fun. We encourage you to do it. And, of course, thank you to Pat for joining us tonight. Thank you so much. We'll talk soon.
Yeah, thank you for having me on the line.
You bet. Stick around. Much more coming your way. The next generation of sports radio, SB Nation Radio.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio, live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston. Here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Okay, we are back. Hour number one, SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. I am Alyssa Walker-Campbell, and ready for a complete preview of the 2018, I cannot believe it, the college football season. So right now, we're going to turn our attention to the SEC and the Big 12 Conference, and delighted to have back with us, that is the executive editor with Athlon Sports, Mitch Light. Welcome back, Mitch.
Thanks for having me on, Alyssa. Look forward to this drill every year.
Absolutely. Okay, there are so many storylines that we want to dive into. But first and foremost, let's start with the SEC. And, of course, right at the top, once again, Alabama, they are primed for another run at a national championship. And really, no surprise at all. So I got to ask you, what excites you the most about this team?
I'm most intrigued about the quarterback situation. It's so rare that you have a team that's pretty much a consensus number one in the country.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some people might have Clemson, but almost everyone has Alabama with a, you know, I'm not going to call it unsettled quarterback position, even though Nick Saban did at SEC Media Days this week, because I'd be shocked if Tua Tagovailoa is not the quarterback.
Yeah.
But it's just an intriguing situation where you've got a guy like Jalen Hurts, who won Offensive Player of the Year in the SEC 2 years ago, has won a ton of games, where he's probably going to be the backup. So I think watching their offense really explode with Tua is going to be fun to watch. You know, they played it close to the vest the last couple of years because I don't really think they trusted Jalen Hurts to throw the ball down the field that much. Well, that won't be the case with Tua at quarterback, so I think you're going to see an explosive offense, probably the most balanced offense we've seen from Alabama in the Nick Saban era.
Okay, so when we talk about Alabama, the quarterback competition, I want to digress for just a moment. You step back and you look across the country, so many different programs, we're seeing quarterback competition that is taking place, right?
Yeah, and it's at the top of the list. It's at the top of the rankings.
Yeah.
That's what makes this year so fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Clemson, Kelly Bryant's won a lot of games. Took his team to the championship or the playoff last year, but Trevor Lawrence comes in as one of the most hyped freshmen in the country. Same thing at Georgia. You got a guy like Jake Fromm, who was a true freshman, was fantastic. Well, the Justin Fields comes in. Some people say, you know, he's one of the best quarterback recruits in the last 5 years. So I think that's really fascinating there. Miami's a team that, if they were maybe a little bit more solidified at the quarterback position, could be a legit national championship contender. Oklahoma has got an intriguing situation with Kyler Murray, who I would think would be the quarterback. But, hey, if he doesn't win the job, he'll just take his $5 million and go play for the Oakland A's. So, I think it's a good year in the SEC for quarterbacks, which has been pretty rare. Nationally, it's an okay year for quarterbacks, but I think the SEC is really going to shine at that position this year. And the Big 12 is usually a strong quarterback year. There's a lot of uncertainty in that league.
You are listening to the familiar voice, executive editor at Athlon Sports. That is Mitch Light back with us, SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Okay, let's hop back. Let's talk some more about Alabama. They are the early favorite to win the SEC 2018. Who is the biggest threat to them, to Alabama?
Well, in the league, I think it's still Georgia, who has recruited at a very high level, and obviously Kirby Smart made a huge jump from year one to year two. They were rather ordinary in year one, but were fantastic last year. A lot of key guys to replace, but that offense should be really good. Now, they don't play in the regular season, so it's hard to say they're a real threat to Alabama until the championship game. But, you know, in the SEC West, I think there's several threats. I think Auburn, you know, you can't discount Auburn. They won the SEC West championship last year, which every Auburn fan will remind you. They're the state champs and the SEC West champs.
Right.
I think Mississippi State is going to be very good. Joe Moorhead steps into an ideal situation. They've got a lot of talent. They've got two elite defensive linemen, a good quarterback. So I think Mississippi State and Texas A&M could surprise the first year under Jimbo Fisher. We've got them in our top 25. And then LSU. I've been in Athlon for 18 years, Alyssa. This is the first year we do not have LSU in our top 25.
Wow.
But you know that they always have talent, so if they can get the quarterback situation, wouldn't shock me if they greatly overachieved this year.
Okay, well, we are here in Houston, not too far from Texas A&M. So let's take a deep dive into the expectations for Jimbo Fisher, what he's projecting, that they will be competing at an elite level. What does that mean?
Well, you know, for him and for the money they're paying him, that's winning national championships. You know, you don't, as I say about Texas A&M, you don't spend $500 million to renovate your stadium to go 8-4, and you don't pay $75 million for a coach to go 8-4. So I think they expect down the road to compete for national championships. I think it's actually an ideal situation for him in year one, where they're coming off a rather ho-hum, 7-6, 4-4 season in the SEC. I think, you know, Nick Starkle will be a good fit for his offense. There's still some talent there. I think the hire of Mike Elko at defensive coordinator was outstanding. So, you know, we've got them picked fourth in the SEC West, but again, this is a team that I think could overachieve and really do some good things in year one. The way they're recruiting, obviously this program's on the uptick right now.
Okay, we talk about Texas A&M. Expand and talk a little bit about as far as Auburn.
The thing about Auburn is that it's really helped separate them, because they've had good years. Obviously, they won the national championship, and they competed for a national championship, lost to Florida State a few years ago. But they have improved a lot on the defensive line. That has helped them kind of be consistently strong on the defensive line, and that's where they're going to be good again this year. So that's a great place to start to stop the run. They've got Jared Stidham, a quarterback who could be one of the better quarterbacks in the country. You know, the Baylor transfer struggled a little bit in year one early, but Gus Malzahn kind of molded that offense around him, and he's a good fit there. They've got good wide receivers. The key for them on offense is the offensive line. They lost four starters in the offensive line. If they can solidify that and keep Jared Stidham healthy, I think Auburn, you know, we've got them seventh overall, second in SEC West. So this is a really good team that, again, they beat Alabama last year. The key for Auburn, though, another key is the schedule. Auburn and the Alabama and the Georgia games were at home last year. Both those games are on the road. This team was a lot better at home last year.
SEC always loaded with so much talent. The expectations sky high. Okay, let's do a crossover. Let's head out here into the Big 12 Conference. And right at the top, what? We've got the Oklahoma Sooners.
Yeah, and, you know, the name at the top of the program changed. You know, Lincoln Riley came in and did a fantastic job in year one. It helps to have Baker Mayfield, who had one of the best careers as a college quarterback in, I'd say, the history of the sport. A lot of that's due to Baker Mayfield, but a lot of that's due to the offense that Lincoln Riley ran there. So I think that's where you've got to start with this team is can Kyler Murray, assuming he wins the job, which I think he will, what kind of production can they get from him in the quarterback position? He's not Baker Mayfield. He will not, you know, they have similar skill sets, both good athletes and stuff, but Mayfield's obviously a more polished passer. So that's where you got to start. I think Rodney Anderson's one of the more underrated running backs in the country. He was fantastic, like from about the midway point last year to the rest of the season. And they seem to just always find wide receivers. They lose their top guys and just kind of find new guys. You know, Marcus Brown last year was really good. C.D. Lamb. So I think they're good at the skill position. Defense has been good but not great in recent years, so I think that's going to be a key, you know, finding some playmakers in the defensive line. But to me, Alyssa, it's still Oklahoma and everyone else in the Big 12.
Okay, well, Oklahoma, as you said, they won't have quarterback Baker Mayfield. Some question marks in terms of who will be starting, but you bring up a great point, talking about the Sooners defensively. Okay, so Mike Stoops is back. What kind of changes need to take place so that they are, you know, an elite defense?
It's always difficult to evaluate Oklahoma defensively because the Big 12 is so good. And, you know, that's not trying to get into the old controversy with Lincoln Riley, what he said about the SEC, that was a controversy or anything.
Uh-huh, sure.
But, you know, their numbers are kind of skewed because they play such good teams for the most part, but then they get to the championship game and they couldn't slow, they could not slow Georgia down. So, I mean, I think it starts with stopping the run. They've got to get better at stopping the run. Linebacker play was pretty good last year, and they get Kenneth Murray back, who was the middle linebacker, who was one of the best in the country as a freshman last year. So, you know, they have not been the key. You know, I talked about Auburn's defensive line.
Mm-hmm.
You look at Oklahoma, just they're not churning out those elite defensive linemen like they did maybe 10 years ago, 5, 10 years ago. And I think you see that on the field. So that they need to get back to the point where they're having first-round caliber draft picks on the defensive line, which we have not seen from this team.
Okay, just a few more minutes. Executive editor with Athlon Sports, Mitch Light. Reach out and connect with our audience. Where can they find you online? And also, they need to go out and get copies of the magazine.
Yeah, magazine's still on newsstands. We'll be up until the season starts. You can find me on Twitter, Athlon Mitch, and athlonsports.com is where you can buy our magazines and find a lot of our preseason college football content as well.
Okay, we're talking about the Big 12 conference right now. With Mitch Light and Texas. Okay, they improved their win total by, what, 2 games last year in Tom Herman's first year. Are they ready to stride out a little bit more in 2018? What say you, Mitch?
I hope so, because we picked them second, but we picked them second last year, too, and they didn't quite, I mean, they had a better year, like you mentioned, but they didn't quite live up to where we thought they could be. Still a big Tom Herman believer. I think this defense was very good last year. Todd Orlando, one of the better defensive coordinators in the country. They recruited very well in the defensive backfield. I think they're going to be very good there. The intriguing thing about Texas is we kind of talked about it with some of the SEC teams is the quarterback situation. They've got two guys I think they're comfortable with, mm-hmm. Sam Ellinger and Shane Buechele. From what I saw from the outside looking in, I thought Ellinger was the better quarterback there. They need some running backs to emerge. You know, your program like Texas, you figure they would have guys that, you know, can just churn out running backs that, you know, they've been pretty good back there of late, but no proven ball carriers this year. So I think they can be the best of the rest in the Big 12, and the way they're recruiting, I think it'll be just a matter of a few years before they're challenging Oklahoma for the top spot.
Okay, only have time for one more question. I know a lot of talk and chatter about West Virginia, but we are here in Texas. Talk to me about Gary Patterson's Horned Frogs. What are your expectations?
Yeah, very good. In fact, we might, you know, we do our preseason predictions in April. Magazine comes out in May, and then we kind of stew over it over the summer, and sometimes they say we might I wish I could revisit that pick or revisit that team. TCU is one team I think we might have ranked a little bit low. We've got them 24th overall, fourth in the Big 12. Defense will be outstanding again. I like their skill. Sean Robinson, I think, is going to be really good at the quarterback position. Played a little bit last year with a little more seasoning. So, you know, the offensive line is going to be a key that's rebuilt. But Gary Patterson's done a tremendous job bring consistency to that program since they joined the Big 12.
Okay, Mitch Light has been with us at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show, executive editor with Athlon Sports. We encourage all of you to go out and get a copy of the magazine. It is out right now. Thanks so much, Mitch, and so many more teams we want to cover. We promise we'll have you back here real soon, okay?
Thanks for having me on. Let's always enjoy it.
Absolutely. Stick around. Much more coming your way in the next generation of sports radio. That is SB Nation Radio.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio, live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston. Here's Alyssa Walker Campbell.
Hey, welcome back. Hour number two, SB Nation Radio and the Big E Sports Show. The college football conversation, it continues. And right now, we are going to zero in on the Notre Dame Fighting Irish, a team that finished 10-3 last year. And they were able to turn things around. And we are delighted to have back with us. That is Notre Dame great and former standout with the Fighting Irish, a part of the national championship team under their great coach, who recently passed away. That was Era Parsegian. It's good to have Frank Pomerico with us back at SB Nation Radio. Hi, Frank. Good evening. We've missed you. How are you, my friend?
I'm great. I'm feeling good. I just finished training, so everything is good. I'm kind of in mode.
Absolutely. Okay, so let's take a deep dive and talk about your Fighting Irish. As I had just mentioned, 10-3 record in 2017. But this year, coming into the season, you know, the offense has been hit hard by NFL departures, which puts a lot of pressure on your quarterback. What are your expectations?
Well, I think with the offense that they started developing last year, they really relied on the run. And Brian Kelly has left a lot of the play calling to his offensive coordinator, DeLong. So I think this is going to be a good team, a solid team. They replaced the two tremendous offensive linemen that were drafted in the first round, number six, were Quentin Nelson and McGlinchey at number nine. So, you know, they have some big holes to fill, literally, because those guys were 320-pounders, 6'6", but they did that. They have two great players that are stepping in, and they should really pick up the slack. So we're excited about it.
A couple of new players stepping in. How do you see this transition taking place? You know, as we talk about the Notre Dame, the Fighting Irish, they're also breaking in a new defensive coordinator.
You know, they are, but the defensive coordinator was there under Elko last year. So he's been with him actually since Wake Forest. So my thought is that he is pretty much up to speed on what they were doing last year. And I think this year, the players are all buying into it. They have some standout players on defense with Drew Tranquil, who's going to play some defensive linebacker as well as strong safety. And Jerry Tillery, who's a 6'6", 310-pounder, who's very athletic. The crack on him, though, is a little bit that he may not be as aggressive as he needs to be that dominant. But, Alyssa, they have Coney behind him at 116 tackles last year. Love at cornerback, who's very fast. They have Troy Pry. They had some really good defensive players. So we're looking for some really big things coming out of the defense.
Okay, Notre Dame, 10-3 record in 2017, and I think back, you know, when you were on our show, even just a couple of years ago, what, 4-8? How were they able to bounce back last season? What was the key?
Well, I think there was a couple of things. You know, Brian Kelly kind of corralled things, and he analyzed what was wrong and what was right on what they were doing the year before. And he kind of controlled the offense by running the ball more and, you know, using the strength of the team, which was those big horses up front. And in doing so, he was able to not only control the line of scrimmage, but control the clock. And when you're doing that, I think you have a way to get ahead of people, and then they have a hard time catching you. So I think that was the basis of what was happening to make a successful year.
Well, and it really speaks to his ability to turn things around. I mean, what, this is going to be Brian Kelly's eighth season, is that right, there at Notre Dame?
Right.
And you had just mentioned some of those key adjustments that took place. And, you know, Brian Kelly, here's a coach. He's had a lot of heat. He's had a lot of pressure on him, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, he's 69-34 going into his eighth year. So his average is of about 8.6 wins per season. And when you're doing that, you're kind of right on the cusp of being on the hot seat, or let's extend his contract. And I think, you know, it depends on him what's going to happen here. There have been rumors in the past that he's looked for different jobs, like he tried to get the Bears job. And then after that 2012 season, he interviewed with the Philadelphia Eagles. So, you know, there's a lot of speculation of how much longer is Brian Kelly going to be there. And after they were 4-8, I think he was really looking for some opportunities. But right now, they're all in. and they're all getting ready for the season, and they better be ready because they're going to play a very strong Michigan team on September 1st.
You're listening to the excitement and the voice of Frank Pomerico, one of our favorite guests, Notre Dame legend, co-captain of the Irish, the 1973 national team, of course, played for Ara Parseghian. And we are giving a full preview tonight, Notre Dame football 2018. And let's take a deep dive into that schedule because, as you had just mentioned, August 31st, season gets underway. And what a stout, you know, competitor they've got to play against as some really intense competition against Michigan.
Oh, yeah. I mean, with Michigan, they're a ball control team as well. They have the number one defense in the Big Ten and very close to being number one defense in the whole country. You know, when you look at Notre Dame's schedule, they have six really tough games to me. They have Michigan September 1st. On the September 29th, they play Stanford. And Stanford is, they won nine games last year, but just a whisper away from being 11-2. So, Stanford is good on the 29th. Virginia Tech down there. I mean, that is a really tough to play on October 6th. And then you have a Northwestern at Northwestern. And if you look at some of the games that Northwestern played last year, they won 10 ball games. They're a tough team. And every time they play Notre Dame, I think they play their best. But the thing that I'm impressed with Northwestern is their football coach. To me, all his teams play in a very similar way. They're hungry for success. They're hungry to prove that they should have been picked by schools with a better football reputation than maybe Northwestern has because they're known as a great academic school. But Northwestern and Fitzgerald, to me, they bring a huge challenge for the Irish. And they better be ready because they're going to be playing in Chicago, and that's a tough place to play. Next, you have Florida State with a new coach on November 10th at South Bend. I think the Irish have a good chance to win this game, but you know that Florida State has athletes. And anytime you have athletes that can put things together, you're in trouble if they get ahead of you. So that's another one. And, of course, following up at the USC game in Southern California, and that's always, no matter what the records are for either team, that is going to be a barn burner. And they have athletes, as we know. They're looking maybe to start a freshman at quarterback who's supposed to be one of Daniels, I think his name is, JT Daniels, is supposed to be one of the best quarterbacks ever to come out of high school and be ready to play at that level, at this level in Division I. So it's going to be interesting to see how this schedule pans out.
Okay, the Irish, they're going to be ready to roll, but will they be able to advance? Can they make the playoff this year?
You know, I think with the six, you know, tough games, if they win those games, I think they should be. Because I think the other teams, well, they're going to play Pittsburgh, which is going to be a tough team, and Wake Forest and Navy, but Syracuse, they should win those games. And if they do, and they win these six tough games I just talked about, I think the polls will have them right up there close to the top, and they should get into the playoffs. Now, if they don't, then we're going to see if Brian Kelly will be back for another year or not.
You know, you highlight some of these marquee matchups that are on the schedule, and your confidence level, I mean, Frank, you've covered and you've been a part of this team, the culture there with the Fighting Irish. I mean, does Brian Kelly have enough talent to go all the way?
Well, I think, you know, Wimbush last year, in the beginning of the year, he was terrific. Towards the end of the year, he started faltering. And they have Ian Book, who can come in and be a good fireman as far as a reliever is concerned. But they need to really, if they get behind, they need to have Wimbush to be able to throw the ball. And I think with some of the defenses they're going to be playing, he's going to be pressed. If their offensive line and their backs, which really, they have to find a back that can do it. Right now, they're playing with people that have not been proven. They have a fellow named Dexter Williams, who's pretty good, but he's suspended for the first game or so. And I think with that being said, we're talking about a lot of unproven athletes here. So they're good, but we got to see what they do in front of 85,000 people, too.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Listening to you, of course, it sounds like, you know, the pressure is on the quarterback, Brandon Wimbush. You know, who did they sign? Who are some of these new fresh faces that are coming in that, you know, we need to pay attention to?
Well, I think on the offensive line, we have Alex Bars, who's a really good player. He's an older gentleman, but, I mean, as far as experience is concerned, Tommy Kramer is another good player who started four games as a freshman. You know, he's 6 foot six, 315 pounds. Liam Lynchenberg is another 6 foot six, 300 pounds, good athletic ability. So they have some good players that are coming in from all around the country. And when I say that, I think it's a good advantage for Notre Dame because they get a great mix of kids from the Midwest, from the East Coast, and from California and Texas. And with that being said, they get a wide range of talent and a wide range of personalities to blend into one unit. So it should be a good year for them. I look for some good things, and of course, it's all going to start on September 1st. If they play well in that first game, I think the ball will start rolling downhill, and they'll be knocking off opponents left and right.
Do you feel any anxiety as far as facing such a quality opponent in Michigan, game one?
You know, I think Michigan, you know, I pay a lot of attention to Michigan. That's where my son played.
Okay,
so,
really? Okay.
My son was a starter there as their long snapper in 2009,
nice.
10, and 11.
Wow, okay.
And, you know, I have this radio show on KSHP out of Las Vegas, and they would always ask me when my son was playing, who are you going to root for when Notre Dame plays Michigan? And I would always say, well, I'll pray for Notre Dame, but I sure as heck going to root for my son.
Oh, I love that. Great answer. That's a great answer.
But the thing that was always so interesting about that game is that, you know, I bleed blue and gold at Notre Dame. But, of course, the Michigan program with the people like Brady Hoke and Lloyd Carr, I mean, they were very solid people. And I think the kind of unit that they're going to have now with Jim Harbaugh is going to be excellent. You know, I think what happens, too, is that you see programs. When you see a Alabama program with Nick Saban, you know, you come to see a Nick Saban team play. You don't come to see an individual play on that team. You come to see the whole unit play. When you come to see a Michigan team play, you want to see what Jim Harbaugh is going to do, not so much what different personalities are going to do. And I think the same thing is true with other programs that have dominant coaches. And I think that's what we need to find at Notre Dame. We need to have people identify Notre Dame with their coach. And when they can do that, you know, they have the similar offense that they've always used. But at Notre Dame, they've been changing a little bit. So, you know, the coordinators are coming in and out, and that's not always, you know, the most settling thing. So when I look at Michigan, I look at this as being a bowl game for both teams. You know, it's a kickoff for Michigan as well. They're not as worried about this because they want to win the Big Ten. But if they want to get into the playoffs, they have to win this Notre Dame game. So they're going to have to be firing on all cylinders. And when you have Shea Patterson leading that program as a good passer and a runner, you're going to be up against a solid offense, and that their defense is second to none in the country. So it's going to be exciting. And I'm telling you, it's a night game. It's going to be on NBC, and I think people are going to be rabid fans down there in South Bend, Indiana.
Our conversation continues with Notre Dame legend Frank Pomerico after this quick break.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio, live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston. Here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Welcome back to hour number two at SB Nation Radio and the Big E Sports Show. I'm Alyssa Walker-Campbell. Right now, we're talking some Notre Dame Fighting Irish football with Frank Pomerico. Notre Dame, of course, aiming for its first back-to-back double-digit winning season since Lou Holtz was the head coach, 92-93. Real quickly, as we get ready to wrap up our time, of course, Frank Pomerico is with us, Notre Dame legend. You know him well. You know, we were talking about some of the big-name programs. You mentioned Alabama and Nick Saban. What do you think about, give us kind of your takeaways on what's been happening with Ohio State?
Well, of course, I think that was a very unfortunate situation for Ohio State. Of course, if something is being... if somebody is abusing somebody else, you know, I don't know all the facts there, but that's something that needs to come to the forefront. And, you know, of course, we see it in our athletic programs and society itself. And, of course, lately we've been seeing that as far as the clergy is concerned and the news recently.
Yes.
Mm. And, of course, we all have to be conscious of this and all have to be aware that, hey, this needs to come to the forefront. We can't have another Penn State thing going on.
That's right.
We can't have another situation where clergy is going from one parish to another. We have to nip this in the bud and make sure that our kids and our women and people that are susceptible to injury need to be safe. I mean, this is what it's all about. We want to live in a fruitful environment, and if we can't do that and we're suppressed, then we got a major problem. So I'm disappointed in what happened to Ohio State. I really think what's going to happen is going to get a slap on the wrist. He may miss a few games, and I think he'll be back when the Big Ten schedule starts. But I think it's a forewarning for people out there to make sure that you're covering yourself, and this is not something that's going to be happening in the future.
Hey, Notre Dame legend Frank Pomerico has been with us tonight. SB Nation Radio, the next generation of sports radio. Always a true pleasure, and here we are in the month of August. Frank, we will catch up with you after that Michigan game and perhaps a Notre Dame win, okay, to start the season.
Well, that would be great. Thank you very much for having me on, and I look forward to talking to you in the near future.
Always a true pleasure. That, of course, was Frank Pomerico, Notre Dame legend. A big thank you to all of our amazing guests tonight right here at SB Nation Radio. As always, we'd love to connect with you. Join us at Twitter at eRadioSports and PodcastArena.com. Perhaps you missed one of our interviews tonight, PodcastArena.com. We'll see you next weekend for the biggest, the best in sports, the Big E Sports Show. So long, everybody. Don't drink and drive.